Now I ask that you give your careful and prayerful attention to our brother pastor, Gordon McCann.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning. It's good to see each one of you here. You know, every time I look out among the congregation, I start thinking, am I getting old? Everyone looks young, you know. I must be getting old. Anyhow, it's good to see each one of you here. The topic today is how do we prepare to meet God? One of the things that last week, not only during the sacrament service, but our brother who preached, there was some particular scripture verses that had caught my eye and my spiritual eye, and I wanted to. There were some things that the Lord gave to me for as understanding, and I'd like to try and present them to you today. Let's start with using Alma in the 16th chapter, here in the verse 228. You can find that on page either 430 or 431, depending on your Book of Mormons here. It says here in 228 in Alma 16, it says, "For behold, this life is the time for men and women to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors." And I know that as you allow in your prayers and as the Spirit of God works with you, you feel that. You feel that tug. You feel the Spirit, you know, saying to you on an individual basis, maybe you might want to consider thinking about this weakness in your life and addressing it, you know, to help you in your preparation to meeting God. And that's the whole point behind the Spirit of God, is to help us in that endeavor, that ultimately when we leave this fleshly body, that we are presented to our God, as it says in the scripture, and that we're able to praise his name, and he is able to give us entrance to a peaceful rest. Let's go to Romans in the 12th chapter, and verse 1. This is one of the scripture references that was used last week, but I want to use it again. It's a familiar one, but I want to use it, and there's a couple more scripture verses I'm going to speak to, and then there's the one scripture verse I really want to bring home to each of us. Here in Romans in the 12th chapter, in the first verse, here it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, you've heard that time and time again. And a lot of times, maybe in some instances, it's read, and maybe there has been given you some ideas or some thought as to how we do this. And when I get to my next, second to the last scripture here that I'm going to present, it's going to bring on a different meaning. And I want you to remember that from some of the things that you have been, that you are familiar with concerning this particular scripture verse. Let's go to Alma again in the 16th chapter. And I'm going to read a couple of verses of scripture here, not far from where I had just read. And this is in 237 and 238. "And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that you should remember these things, that you should work out your salvation with fear before God, and that you should no more deny the coming of Christ, and that you contend no more against the Holy Ghost, but that you receive it and take upon you the name of Christ, that you humble yourselves even to the dust and worship God in whatsoever place you may be in, the Spirit and in truth. And that ye live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and the blessings which he hath thus bestowed upon you. Yea, and also exhort you, brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, that you may not be led away by the temptation of the devil, that he may not overpower you, that ye may not become his subjects at the last day. For behold, he rewardeth you no good thing. And really, again, this goes towards the first scripture, that this life is to prepare to meet God. That's why we're here. In Romans, that we present these bodies as living sacrifices. And that would be a willingness on our part to do that. And then in Alma, in the 16th chapter, it also says that we're to work out our salvation in fear before God. And all those things are talking about that there's something on our part. We have to be doing something. It's something that we have to be active in on a daily basis. It's not something that we can just do one time and let it go. It is an active thing that should be within our lives as we live it. Each one of those things is something that we have to make a conscious decision to be listening to the Spirit of God as it works within our lives and making those changes or endeavoring to make those changes in our lives that will ultimately prepare us to meet God. Now let's go to the scripture verse that really brought this whole topic to me, and we can find it in 1 Corinthians. And it's another familiar scripture, but I'm going to focus on just one little aspect of it. And it's the 11th chapter. And I want to read verses 31 and 32. Now, when you turn here, you're going to find that it is the scripture verse that is very commonly used during the time of our, when we come together to partake of the emblems of life. You know, it should be familiar with you there. And we read the whole thing. You know, we read the first part. As often as we take and drink of this cup, you know, we go on. And then it says, but let a man examine himself. Again, I could have used that as preparation to this next scripture verse, because all three of those first ones that I read has everything to do with us looking internally and comparing ourselves with those things of God. But verse 31 and 32, I want to read that. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, when I was sitting here, and happened to be up front, and those words were read, you know, I felt the Lord giving me a deeper meaning. And started putting some things together to help me to understand this more fully, and I'd like to bring to your thoughts as well. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And that is that working out our salvation and in fear before God. Because as we allow the Spirit of God to work within our hearts, what does that Spirit do? Doesn't it condemn us on those things that we've done wrong? Don't you feel that twinge and you go, you know, you acknowledge to God that it's wrong. And immediately you're being judged. You're being judged by the Spirit of God in your heart. And then the scripture verse says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And so what is it meant by you're being chastened? Well, you have two options, right? We have the freedom to choose. We have the freedom to go, I don't want to listen to it, and cast it away and go on, or I'll deal with it some other time. I just can't deal with it right now. Now, are we sufficiently chastened at that point? We're still judged. We're still under condemnation, aren't we? as we continue on our way. All right? But if we entertain that spirit within our heart and say, you're right, give me the strength that I can work on that and be more diligent in trying to remove it from my life. And so what is that act? It's an act of humility, isn't it? Because you're acknowledging that by the light of Christ, through his spirit, we've done wrong. We're judged here on earth. And to the extent of our sin, we are humbled when we acknowledge it before God, right? And then as we then take that next step through repentance and trying to remove it from our life, then the condemnation that would come at the end of our life is no longer there. It fulfills the scripture that you find in the Book of Mormon. We are saved, what, in our sins? Or does it say we're saved from our sins? So really, when you want to connect it all together, what is that word that a lot of Christians kind of throw around? It starts with a G. Grace. So if we're following this, if we're allowing the Spirit to judge us and make its effect in our life, and we endeavor to make those changes, then are we not living in the grace of God here on earth, fulfilling the scripture that we're not going to be condemned with the world, living through that grace of God, through the blood of Christ? Those two verses of scripture kind of puts together those things that I had read earlier and puts that plan together for us. Jesus Christ preparing the way, giving us opportunity through having the gift of the Holy Ghost by what? Our first fruits of repentance is what? Baptism. And then we have opportunity through the laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost, which is that comforter that Jesus Christ says that will abide with us. And that's that promise that Christ had made that you find in the 14th chapter of John. And it says the world is not able to receive this. And it really isn't. Because the plan of God was that to fulfill all righteousness was to take those steps that he took. When his father said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, because the thing that he had done through being baptized of John. It puts those things together for us to help us to understand how it is active in our life, that we might live in that grace that God provides for us. And let's go to the 2 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, in verse 5. There it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? I hope that you think about this particular scripture is that when you kneel in your daily prayers, you examine yourself. Am I listening to the Spirit of God? Am I proving that I'm a child of God and allowing that Spirit to work in my life? Do I know in my heart that he does these things? And when it says, except you be a reprobate, that means a non-believer. What does Satan try to do with this whole concept of judging ourselves? What is the first thing sometimes that we think about when we are condemned? You know, what is the first thing that is tried? Our faith, isn't it? How many times have you talked with people and said, I just can't do it? You know, they're just at a point in their life where they feel that there is no hope. And all that is Satan manifesting himself, interjecting himself into that plan that God has for each of us to be able to overcome these things. And he's using that spirit that's saying to you inside you that you're a sinner. Well, we know that. But the promise that comes from Christ is that he knows that you're weak. And he's trying to tell you that it is a daily walk, that we have to examine ourselves. We have to judge ourselves. And that judgment comes with the comparison of the Spirit. But to the point that it makes a change within us that we want to make that change. That sacrifice, we are willing to give it to Christ to help us in that. To give us that strength. And to know that, yeah, without him, really, we cannot. But through the power of Christ, we can. In the book of Moroni, let's go there into the 7th chapter. Starting with the 10th verse, and I'll read through the 13th verse. This is on page 764. Wherefore all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. The devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth continually against him continually. Well, if he's fighting against God and those things that he has ordained, that if his spirit is in us, then isn't it that spiritual warfare that Paul was talking about? Doesn't that kind of shine some light on what Paul was saying? That within him, he sees that war. That war against the flesh. And those things that are set to try and destroy him and to destroy us. But it says, but behold, that which is of God inviteth, enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth, enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God. That's the way and means by which we may be able to judge anything in this world. But behold, that which is of God inviteth, enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which... let's do the 12th verse. Wherefore, take heed, my beloved brethren, that ye do not judge that which is evil to be of God, or that which is good and of God to be evil. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil. And the way to judge is as plain, that ye may know with a perfect knowledge as the daylight is from the dark night. So it should be verily plain if we use the judgment in which God has given us to use, that comparison, that light, those things, we should be able to, within our life, be able to very meticulously compare the thing that we're involved in or whatever it is that the Spirit has brought to our attention. We're going to be able to use that and compare it against Christ and the Spirit and be able to make that choice. And once we do, will find that it brings relief and it brings comfort. It brings a peace into our life. So when you find people who are struggling, they haven't done that. They haven't gotten to that point yet, and they don't have any peace in their heart, in their mind. And they find that turmoil that is hard for them to bear. Another verse of scripture we can find in 2 Nephi. As it speaks to our daily walk in life. In the 7th chapter. Let's go to verse 40 through 42. Page 115. It says, therefore, cheer up your hearts. And remember that ye are free to act for yourselves, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of eternal life. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourselves to the will of God and not to the will of the devil in the flesh. And remember, after you have reconciled unto God, that it is only in and through the grace of God that you're saved. And it puts that connection there, dealing with grace. A living sacrifice, reconciliation, reconcile to bring to submission, acceptance. That we are accepting the things that Christ is trying to tell us, that our heart might be softened, and that we might be humble enough to admit it to Christ. And to the spirit that condemned us, and to be able to approach his throne asking for forgiveness and relying on our faith that he's going to help us and bring that peace to our heart. In Romans, in the 8th chapter, continues on with that thought. Uses another word, Romans in the 8th chapter. And let's read verses 11 through 16. Here, starting with verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Okay, that is going to try your faith when you think about it. We accept those things that we read in the scripture as being true. And one of the things was that Jesus Christ was. He came to the world and he brought his Father's doctrine. And that he was crucified. And that he was resurrected. And he's alive. A lot of people don't believe that in the world. And so it says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ, so if we believe that it was by the power of that spirit, if we can relate to that power that raised Christ from the dead, and that same power is in us, then how much power and authority do we have to help us in our infirmities and those things that we find difficult to do in life? That God is asking us to do, to order our life according to Christ. Think about it. That's an awesome power. We can't comprehend the power of raising the dead, bringing that life back from the dead. I think there's only one person in this room that may have seen it. Has experienced it. There's others who have, two people, thank you. I want you young people, two people in this room have first-hand witness of raising the dead. Think about it. And that same spirit is there for you to help you in your spiritual life. So why would we have anything to fear of Satan? other than our weakness to accept it. And our lack of faith to apply it. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, what does that word mortify? To deny or to make dead those things that are not right before God. To deny ourselves, our flesh. Because what the flesh has a tendency to butt. It's not of God. It is opposite of God's will. So really, by mortifying ourselves, those deeds, those works, those things that we do in our life, we are denying that flesh and trying to put it in its proper place of where it really belongs, and that's in death. Because we need to relate those two things, death and those things of the flesh. There's a relationship there. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And how beautiful that is, that when we wake up and we listen to that Spirit of God as it works in our life, and you find that peace, you go, I'm a child of God. I'm in His grace. He recognizes me. He knows me. And He's there for me to help me through my infirmities and my weaknesses of the flesh. Let's go to the 10th chapter of John. In the words of Christ, I'd like to read verses 27 through 30. Christ makes a statement. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, His voice comes by way of the Spirit to us. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Think about it. There's no power on earth that could do that. The only one that has the power to allow them to be plucked from the hands of Christ is you and me. We're the only ones. By our choice, our freedom to choose. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You know, whenever you feel down and out and you need some strength, go to this verse of Scripture. It's a promise to you and I. Not only do we have Christ behind it, but we have the Father in heaven giving us His word that you can't be plucked from His hands as long as we have turned our heart and our will over to Him. In Alma, in the 19th chapter, let's read a verse of Scripture here. Because this is the application of what I've been talking about. And this happens to be a sentiment from a father to a son. Here on page 445. The father makes this to his son. "And now, my son, I desire that you should let these things trouble you no more." And there was those things that were troubling him. But listen to the focus of the Father to the Son. And only let your sins trouble you with that trouble which shall bring you down unto repentance. And that's a father's admonition to the son. And really, that's our father's admonition to you and I. To only let your sins trouble you with that trouble which shall bring you down unto repentance. That's the whole purpose of it. Remember the story about the 10 virgins. And when the cry came out and everyone was to greet the bridegroom, there were 5 who were ready and 5 who weren't. They didn't have enough oil and they ran off to try and get some more. Could we not look at that as us not living in that grace, not allowing that judgment to take place in our lives, being not that diligent like God has asked us to be, that we find ourselves coming up short of oil? In Alma, in the 3rd chapter, in verse 48, here we find some admonition concerning those things that we should be doing through that self-examination. In verse 48 on page 316, it says, "Could you say, if you were called to die at this time within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble?" Now that should take on more meaning, or a little bit more in-depth meaning, when we read in Alma in the 19th chapter, to let those sins trouble us unto repentance. Or that one that says that he cannot redeem us in our sins, but from our sins. Those kinds of things should bring a little more meaning when we ask this question of ourselves. Could we say, if we were called to die at this time within yourselves, that you have sufficiently humbled? That you have listened to that and endeavored to try and apply those things to your life. "Behold, are you stripped of pride? I say unto you, if you are not, you are not prepared to meet God." And really, now if you think about the 10 virgins, that's directly related. That's a parable to what our brother here, Alma, is talking about. "Behold, you must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand. And such a one hath not eternal life." So if you're not prepared, you don't have the oil that you need, right? Then now you got to go out and get the oil. But there's no time. When Christ comes, there's not going to be any time. The time is gone. So today is today for us to prepare. "Behold, you must prepare." 52. "Behold, I say, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? I say unto you that such an one is not prepared. And I would that he should prepare quickly, for the hour is close at hand. And he knoweth not when the time shall come, for such an one is not found guiltless." And really, it speaks to either the coming of Christ before our death, or we die before he comes and we're still not prepared. Either way, right? That's what it's talking about. And that's what these words of wisdom are for us as we are admonished to examine ourselves on a daily basis. One of the scripture verses that I try to remember and try to when I feel weak, is the one that we can find in the book of John, in the 1 John, in the 4th chapter, in the 4th verse. Here it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have a choice. We've been given all the tools. The Spirit of God is with us to bring to our attention those things that we need to work on. We have all the power and authority that the Spirit of Christ would bring in our lives to help us. And it's up to us if we're going to be that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God. May God bless you.